Our scripture reading is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. Lord, on a very practical note, I'm asking that you be with me with this light, that I don't go walking into a pew or anything like that. Lord, I pray more than that, that you would bring your word alive for us. God, we thank you that your word is living and active, and that you use your word to speak truth and life and hope and salvation into our lives. God, we thank you that the very spirit that inspired the scripture lives in us. So we ask today, God, that your spirit that lives in us would speak a word of life and love and transformation to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This Psalm 46, written by the sons of Korah, is in many ways a psalm of reassurance. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Goes on to talk about when we fear, when the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, when everything seems to fall apart, that God is with us. And I wanted to look at it in context, but really what we're going to do today is we're just going to look at one verse. And this is that God says, "Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted above the earth." Be still. It's a word that for a lot of us is uncomfortable. A lot of us don't really know how to be still anymore. We live in such a busy world, and we're so crazy with schedules, and you know, technology is a wonderful thing, and the ability to multitask is really helpful, but in some ways it has so taken us away from the ability to slow and to still and to calm. Several translations of the scripture translate this "be still and know that I'm God" to "stop striving," or sometimes just "cease and know that I'm God." There's something about stopping, about stilling, about calming, about quieting that's important. David says this in Psalm 131. He says, "I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child against its mother." Like a weaned child against its mother is my soul within me. And in a world where news is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the internet is always blaring at us, and Facebook is loud and sometimes angry and chaotic, and our schedules are busy, and people are working a lot and doing a lot and have recreation things, and life just gets so busy, and we're just jumping from one thing to the other to the other. And in the middle of that, God says this: be still. Not just to be still, not just because you need a break. Be still and know that I'm God. 2001, in October, my second retina detached, and I thought I was going to be without vision for about a week while my retina healed after surgery, and then I would see again. My retinas had different plans, and multiple surgeries and scar tissue and detachments again and all sorts of stuff, left me for months sitting on my sofa in my living room, unable to do almost anything. During that time when I couldn't read and I couldn't go to work and I couldn't, you know, do much of anything, where I was surrounded, thank God, by friends and neighbors who loved me and helped me and helped with my kids and kept me company, I still wound up with a lot of time sitting on my sofa in the dark. And one of the verses that God brought to me during that time of darkness was this very one from Psalm 46, verse 10, and that's, "Be still and know that I'm God." And at a time in my life when the only thing I could do was be still, God came bursting into that time and let me experience his presence in a way that changed my life. It changed my faith. It changed my walk with him. And I always think that I must be a really slow learner because my object lessons are always really big. You know, I don't learn things subtly. It seems like I usually have to fall flat on my face to learn it, and I feel like that happened in my blindness. I had to just be stopped so I could be still. I've spent most of my Christian life defining myself and finding my value in what I could do. As a worship leader, I was a helper. I helped people. As an elder, I was all sorts of other things, and I derived all my sense of self-worth from being able to do. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a position where I could do nothing. The day I figured out how to make a cup of tea for myself blind was a tremendous victory. All of a sudden, I had to struggle with, did I have any value anymore? Because not only could I not help, I now needed help. And if you're anything like me, it is really hard to ask for help. Again, I'm so thankful that God's gracious and surrounded me with people who were so gracious about giving me help. And God taught me how to receive during that time, which is a lesson we really need to learn. And if you don't know how to receive, I really encourage you to ask God to help you learn how to receive blessings from other people, how to receive help, because we're created to be interdependent on each other in the church. We're not all supposed to be self-sufficient. We are dependent on God. We are interdependent with one another. And if you've ever been in a situation where you've had to depend on your family or your family in the church, you know the blessing it is to have other people be strong when you're weak. But what God taught me while I was still, what God taught me while I was unable to do, when I could only be, what God taught me is that if I couldn't do one thing for him for the rest of my life, if I could never do anything for him again, he would not love me any less. What I learned is that being created in the image of the God who loves me, I have immense value just in being. I can't tell you how much of my Christian life I've spent going, "Here, God, look at me. I'm a good girl. Look at me, God. I'm a helper. Look at me, God. I'm doing what you want me to do." And in that stillness, in that darkness, in that blindness, I found out that God loves me when I can't do anything, when I can only be. God loves me. And I discovered a sense of God's presence that I never knew before. And that's what I think we rob ourselves of when we don't stop, when we don't cease, when we don't stop striving, when we don't be still. We miss knowing God in a way that we can only know him in the stillness. As I have learned and adapted and am able to do so many more things than I used to do, I have to remind myself of that lesson I learned in the dark, the importance of being still. Because in the stillness, we get to know God. We get to know that he's God, and we get to know God. And that is the most important part of our Christian life. God, who has revealed himself to us in Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is in himself in relationship, invites us to be in relationship with him, to know him. Not just know about him, not know a lot of facts, but to intimately and personally know the God of the universe. And that thought brings us to our knees in wonder, in awe, in adoration. and worship. We know the promise that Jesus gave us in John 3:16, and that's that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life, eternal life. We find eternal life in Jesus Christ, and this is what we do. What we say is eternal life. Oh, that means heaven. And heaven is a marvelous place. Debbie and Pat and I were just talking about that in the cafe this morning. Heaven, we can't even comprehend what heaven's going to be. But you know why heaven is heaven? Because God is there. When Jesus is praying in John 17, his prayer before the crucifixion, he says, Father, you've given me the ability to give eternal life. And he says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life, to know God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, to be in intimate friendship, intimate relationship with them. Paul talks about, in Philippians, all the things that he's accomplished, his birthright, his privilege, if you will, his accomplishments as a faithful Jew, as a Benjaminite. And then he says this, he says, but I consider all of that loss. As a matter of fact, I consider it garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. He says to the Ephesians, he says this, I thank my God continually for you, and I keep asking him to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Right? That sounds awesome. That's what we want, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? He says, so that you might know him better. Paul, we read about Paul's life in Acts, in the epistles. We know his faith. We know that he experienced firsthand hearing the voice of Jesus. He saw the flashing, shining light on the road to Damascus. He heard Jesus' voice. Paul, anchored in the faith. In so many ways, the apostle who led the church. Paul says this in Philippians. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul, who knew God, who loved God, who trusted God, who dedicated his life to serving God, knew that there was more to know. Jesus came that we might know God, that he would make a way for us through his blood on the cross to forgive our sins, that we might be reconciled back into relationship with God. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about what is our purpose and what were we created for and what are we supposed to do and how are we going to serve God and what are we going to do with our lives? We ask ourselves these big questions. The Heidelberg Catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith says this way. It asks the question, what is the chief end of man? And it answers it like this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It is always, always about being in relationship. As a matter of fact, as Paul tells us that he wants to know Christ, he knows Christ now, but he wants to know Christ in a deeper and a deeper way. He prays for the Ephesians that they might know him better. He tells us this, now we see through a mirror dimly. Now we know in part, but then we will fully know. Even heaven is about knowing. Even heaven is about being in relationship with God. And that's what he's inviting us into. He's inviting us into relationship, and then he's inviting us to live through our relationship with him. And here's the reality of it. We are so busy trying to be good Christians that we forget about relationship. We just start doing things. We just start crossing things off our list. And what happens when we live outside of relationship is everything is skewed. Everything is off. We make worship some obligation that's dull and dry and boring. We make reading the scriptures a have to, and we have to persevere through it. We pray out of obligation or sometimes just out of desperation. But everything becomes dry when we stop doing it in relationship. Even serving God, there are people who are doing things that they've been doing for years that they're exhausted and they just keep doing them because they don't know how to stop doing them. Or they just get aggravated and they just quit. God never said, I'm going to save you in Jesus Christ and then you are on your own. He said, I want to live in you and through you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want you to be in relationship with me. And when we live out of relationship, things look different. Because then we come to worship, we know that God's gathered people experience his presence in a very special way. When we live in relationship with God, we open the scriptures, not just because we're supposed to read it, because God speaks through his word. You know, we want to hear God. Jesus said this, my sheep know my voice. And we only know his voice when we listen, when we learn how to listen to what he's going to say. And the clearest way God speaks is through the scriptures, through his written word. As I said, as we prayed earlier, inspired by the same Holy Spirit that lives in us. And so it's as we read the scriptures in relationship with God, waiting to hear what our Father wants to speak into our lives, that all of a sudden they come alive. When we realize praying is not just somehow rubbing the genie lamp the right way or twisting God's arm so he does what we want him to do, but instead an opportunity for us to come into God's presence and share our heart with him and have him share his heart with us. I love prayer because I believe with all my heart that prayer changes circumstances, but what I love even more about prayer is prayer changes the prayer. You can't come into God's presence again and again and again and not be changed. But we only find that out when we stop, when we invest ourselves, if you will, into our relationship with God. When we don't worry so much about what it is that we're going to do for God, and we worry about knowing him. Because here's the thing, when you know God, when you're in relationship with him, when you are spending time in his presence, when he is molding you and changing you, he will give you stuff to do. You don't have to worry about that at all. God's got plenty of work, but he didn't create you to do work. He created you to be in relationship with him, and then he'll give you work to do so you can be part of his kingdom. And I think sometimes, even in our Christian service, we've said no to things that God's probably wanted us to say yes to because we've tried to live it outside of relationship. We've done things for years thinking we're serving God that God probably said a long time ago, stop, go, do something else, let me redirect you. We're looking for a formula, for a technique, for if we, then God. And God is inviting us to know him. Think about it, to know him. The God that Tom read for you out of Psalm 46, who speaks and the mountains melt. Who even when all chaos breaks out, remains God. Who spoke and everything created, universes and galaxies that we don't even have telescopes strong enough to see yet, came into being, and he holds it all in the span of his hands. That God says, I know you, and I want you to know me. That God wants to speak his truth and his love and his life into your life, not once in a while, always. That God wants to make his power perfect in your weakness. You know, that's the other thing that we buy into. When we try to live outside of relationship with God is we think we've got to have it all together. And we think that any negative emotion means we don't have faith. And if you feel that way, if you feel like anytime you're scared or anytime you're stressed out or anytime you're depressed or anytime you're sad, you're somehow not being a good Christian, I challenge you to spend a year reading the Psalms. And reading Psalms of lament and Psalms of desperation and Psalms of anger, where David and the other psalm writers expose their hearts. This is who we are. We are real people and we have real emotions. And instead of trying to pretend we don't feel things, God invites us to bring them into relationship with him. When we're angry, instead of just being angry, we come to him and we say, Father, I'm so angry, help me. When we're hurt, we run to him. When we're discouraged, we come to him. He doesn't expect us to solve all these issues on our own. He wants to live in us and through us and with us. And the first step to experiencing that is to stop, to cease, to stop trying so hard, and to be still in God's presence. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets who ever lived. And he was dealing with King Ahab, who's one of the wickedest kings. And Elijah predicted that it wouldn't rain for 3 years, and there was no rain. And then he had a standoff with the prophets of Baal, where they built an altar and he built an altar, and he asked them to call down fire from heaven from their God. And they did all day long, calling for Baal to light it on fire. Elijah took water and he poured it 3 times on the altar, and he called down fire from heaven, and it came. And the prophets of Baal were defeated. And after that, Queen Jezebel was after Elijah, and so he ran. After these incredible experiences of God's power, predicting no rain and having no rain come, defeating the prophets of Baal in this powerful display. Do you know what happened to Elijah? He was afraid. He was afraid for his life. He was afraid he was the only one who was faithful to God, and he ran. And God met him with an angel and fed him and sent him to Mount Horeb. And when he got to Mount Horeb and spent the night in a cave, the next day God said to him, "You need to be in the presence of God. Come out on the mountains and stand in the presence of God, because I'm going to pass by with my glory." And you know what happened? A wind came so fierce that it broke the rocks of the mountain, but God wasn't in the wind. And an earthquake came that shook the foundations, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then a fire came that consumed everything, but God wasn't in the fire. But then came a gentle whisper, and that was God. If you find yourself saying, "I just don't know what God wants me to do," or "I just don't know what about God," the first thing we need to do is to be still. If you know about God, because here's the thing, we know a lot of things in our head, and some of them push down into our hearts, but even fewer of them push out into our lives, and that's what I believe the process of sanctification is doing, where God's taking what we know in our head and pushing it into our hearts and then pushing it out in our lives. So if you know about God, but you're not sure if you really know him, I'm telling you today, God is seeking you. He's pursuing you to be in relationship with him through Jesus Christ. If you feel like you've gotten so busy doing things and you've lost sight of who you are, I'm telling you today, God's pursuing you, and his desire is to let you be still and be in relationship with him. If you want to know God more, because here's the thing, whether you've known God for one day or some of you have been walking with God for 80 years, there's more to know about God. And not just about God, but there's more of God to know. And he's pursuing you, and he's inviting you into a relationship with him. The question probably for most of us is then, how do we be still? How do we cease? How do we stop striving? Because we have jobs and we have families, we have obligations, we have Facebook accounts, and we have all sorts of other things that keep us busy. So how do we be still besides losing our vision and having no option? Or some of others of you have back problems and surgeries and things that have put you flat on your back where you can't do. Beside that, how do we do that? I'm going to just give you a couple practical ideas if it's something that's not familiar to you. One is not to start thinking you're going to be quiet before God for an hour. You know, there's a program for runners. It's called Couch to 5K, where you start from being a couch potato to being able to run a 5K. You don't do it in one day. And the same thing is true about trying to spend intentional time with God. Just take a minute in the morning and maybe read one verse or two verses of Scripture and ask God to speak to you through them. There's some really beautiful prayers and scriptures that we can also use as prayers when we're trying to be still. The one is from Psalm 131, which I said before, that, you know, David says, I've calmed and quieted my soul. And we just sit, take a minute and just sit in the quiet and say, God, help me calm and quiet my soul. Help me be like a weaned child leaning against its mother's breast. When God was calling Samuel in the temple, Eli, the priest, told Samuel to answer, speak, God. Your servant is listening. And that's a beautiful prayer, just to get up in the morning and sit for a minute, open your Bible and say, speak, God. Your servant is listening. Find a scripture that means something to you and take a minute just to live in it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Just let that resonate in your soul. Let that sit for a minute. Let God show you how he's your shepherd. Let God show you how he protects you and provides for you and never leaves you. I read a verse a few months back in Zechariah, which just grabbed me. God's talking about the city, and he says, in this city, the city of God, there is no wall around her, because, you know, cities always had a wall to protect them. Because God says, because I will be a wall of fire around her. And when I read that scripture, I just thought, wow, think about God being a wall of fire around you, around your family, so that nothing can get in, that he's going to protect you and care for you. And just sit and think about that. Take a look anywhere from Revelation 4 to Revelation 7 at some of the beautiful pictures of God on his throne and of worship in heaven. And just read a little bit of that and then just sit in the quiet. And just think about it and see what God will say to you. It might take a while to learn how to quiet your soul, but I guarantee you, if you're seeking God and you quiet your soul, you will hear from him. That's God's promise. You will find me, he says, when you seek me with all your heart. If you know about God, but you're not sure you know God, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. If you are really tired of running around doing a lot of stuff and you feel like you need to learn how to be still, I'm going to invite you to be quiet. You know, we come to God for a lot of reasons. A lot of times we're looking for peace, or we're looking for protection, or we're looking for answers for prayer. But this is the truth. We come seeking the gifts, and God gives us himself, the giver. We come seeking the blessing, and we find instead the blessed one. That's what God's inviting us into, this intimate, personal relationship with him, where we share our hearts with him, where he shares his heart with us, where we're transformed in his presence, and then he uses us for his glory. If you want a little bit more of that, maybe you have that, but if you want a little bit more of that, then I invite you to pray with me too. Let's do it. Who are we, God, that you would be mindful of us? We're like flowers that fade and then are gone. But you remind us that you love us, that we're precious to you, that we matter. God, we live in such a crazy world, and it's so loud, and there's so many voices, and there's so much anger and angst and turmoil right now. God, would you teach us this morning how to be still? Because your promise is that when we're still, when we seek you in the stillness, God, we find you and you show us your glory. You'll be exalted, you tell us, in the nations. You'll be exalted in the earth. God, we're still before you. We realize that we are an absolute mess. When we're still before you in the quiet, God, we realize that you know every part of us, even the parts that we try to hide, and that you wash us clean in Jesus Christ. God, when we're still before you, we discover you in a way that we couldn't know you in our busyness and in our hustle. So again, God, we ask you to teach us today how to be still in your presence. God, show us who you are. Jesus, we thank you that you died for us. We thank you that when we believe in you, God, you give us eternal life, and eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Lord, we want that eternal life, not just life in heaven. God, we want to know you. So open the eyes of our hearts that we could see you. God, give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know you better. God, we offer our lives to you today and ask that you would make us yours. God, help us even now just to take a couple seconds and be still. Thank you for your love that never ends. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your power. Thank you that we matter to you, God. Help us seek you. As we walk out of this building, God, help us seek you more. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Jesus, that's what you told us, and that's what we want to do. Help us do that as we walk out of this place. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name.